Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome especially to all of our students. My name is Carl Ertl, and I have the honor of serving as the interim president of the First Friday Club Board here in Greater Akron. Welcome to today's program. I promise that you will love meeting Pacifique. Please silence your cell phones so that we can all enjoy today's program. On your tables, toward the middle, you will find white cards on which you can write down questions as Pacifique speaks that he will then answer following his presentation. At this time, it is my pleasure to introduce Mrs. Janet O'Driscoll. She is a friend of Pacifique's and his tutor who assisted him in his transition to Walsh Jesuit as he came to us from Rwanda. Mrs. O'Driscoll?
Thank you, Mr. Ertl. Welcome, everyone. In the language of our guest speaker, Pacifique, good afternoon, bonjour, bon après-midi, and murajo. I'm very honored and privileged to be here with you to say grace with you before, during, and post our lunch here this morning or this afternoon. I was one of Pacifique's first teachers at Walsh Jesuit High School, where I welcomed him and enjoyed very much having the opportunity to become his tutor. As time progressed, I was very blessed to become his friend and that of his dear family, the Burks. I fondly remember Pacifique entering Walsh Jesuit, knowing about a handful of English words or so, although he was quite fluent in Kirawandan and French. We openly welcomed Pacifique to our little niche of the world, where our Jesuit mission is to make a positive impact in the lives of others through our daily actions. So let us thank our good and gracious God today for the wonderful opportunity to be together here. Let us be grateful today for the delicious food we will eat in a world where many go hungry. Let us be thankful today for our precious faith and the ability to freely practice our religion in a world where there are many who cannot and they live in distress and fear. Let us also ask God's blessings today on all who planned this day for us and prepared our food. And please join me in saying our grace. Bless us, O Lord, in these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. Merci. Muriyo koze, muriyo hegwe, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Mrs. O'Driscoll. I would now like to introduce Mrs. Jill Burke, who is Pacifique's mother, who took him into her home and shared him with all of us. Jill, would you please introduce Pacifique?
So I need to bring my husband with me because it's been both of us on this journey together with a lot of others. And so first of all, Mike and I want to thank you for inviting our son Pacifique to speak today. Our family's honored to be here. And I'd also like to thank those of you in this room who have played a part in our story. Pacifique wouldn't be where he is today without you, without the love and support of the Walsh Jesuit community, the generous parishioners at St. Mary, the exceptional administrators and teachers at Walsh University, Mark and Lauren Laboda, who started the Orphan's Prayer, and our family and our friends. Pacifique's story begins in Rwanda, where as a toddler he lost his parents and four siblings in the genocide that took place in 1994. He was rescued from a refugee camp by Father Jean Bosco, and was raised in an orphanage for the next 17 years. And by God's grace, and I truly mean that, he joined our family in August of 2011. It is the single best decision that Mike and I have made as a married couple, to say yes to Pacifique. And because of his presence in our family, we have never been the same. Pacifique is a 2013 graduate of Walsh Jesuit High School, where he graduated with honors. And he is a junior at Walsh University, where he is majoring in education and international relations. He's a leader in campus ministry, the International Club, and participates in residence life. But most importantly, Pacifique Nyanzima, whose last name means go with God, is a man after God's own heart. He lives the Beatitudes every day. He is generous, kind, loving, compassionate, merciful, and forgiving. He's all the things that God asks us to be, and he does so with a joyful spirit. For those of you who are fortunate enough to know him, you know that he has the exceptional combination of determination coupled with a gentle soul. He firmly believes that everything he has and all that he has yet to accomplish is because of God's mercy and grace. The young man that you're about to meet, to hear from today and to meet, is quite simply our hero. Please help me welcome Pacifique Nyanzima.
Thank you, everybody. My name is Pacifique Nyanzima. My mom told you that. I don't know what to say. She got me. Before I start, I want to, it is such my pleasure to be here today. Dear friends, families, students, welcome and thank you so much for being here today. I was so happy to see especially younger kids here from Seton. Before I start, I would like to start something funny with you. My senior year, I was doing senior experience from Walsh Jesuit, so I was shadowing a teacher at Seton. So when I went to talk to kids there, you know, little kids, kindergartens, so I went to talk to them, and then they saw me walking inside. They were all surprised. They were like, wow, look, LeBron James come to see our school. So they thought I was LeBron James. And then I look at my muscles, I'm not even close to him. And they say, how come they call me LeBron? The teacher say, well, the little kids do generalization. So, and I say, okay, well, I take it. So today, my speech is going to be about how I found God in my life, back home in Rwanda, how I moved to United States, and what is going on in my life today. When I was only 2 years old, I survived Rwandan genocide, which happened in 1994. I lost my family and my siblings. After genocide, like during genocide, somebody saved my life. He hided in me. And after genocide, I was in camp. That's what my mom told you. There is a priest, his name is Father Ja. He was in Italy during genocide. So when he came back home, he saw that his family was killed. That's when he started to give home to orphans of genocide. So that's how I ended up being in orphanage. So the Rwandan genocide, it's so hard to understand because Rwandans killed Rwandans. It's different, as you know, like Holocaust, Hitler killed Jews. But for us, there are people living in the same country. People who speak the same language, people who share the same culture. So that's why it's sometimes difficult to understand. So in order to understand Rwandan genocide, I'm gonna give you the background of the history, just to help you to understand. So my country, as you see those pictures, we had three tribes. Tutsi, which was my tribe, Hutu, and Twa. So those tribes, they live in unity, in peace. They were unified. So Tutsi, my tribe, were considered as wealth tribe, people who are wealth. And Hutu were people who work like in farms and and the tribe, they were a pygmy. So those people, they live together in peace. They could even marry each other. If I was Tutsi, I could marry a wife who is Hutu. So it didn't matter which tribe you belong to, it was just social classes. So later in 1940, the situation changed during colonization, when the Belgium started to colonize Rwanda. So they, because those tribes were unified, they tried to separate them based on their physical appearance. And they say Tutsi, they are Tara, they have nose. And then they teach this ideology in school. And then the special leaders who were Tutsi, they didn't make decision anymore. So the Hutu took power and they start to demoralize my tribe, which was Tutsi. If you were in school, you got a scholarship, you could not continue because you were Tutsi. They start to call them bad names, dogs, snag, crutches, all bad words to demoralize them. And then they start to even kill them, like in 1990, they killed them like around the country, but it was like killing a family here, there. It was not like big. During that time, some people, some Tutsi who were able to leave the country, they left. Most of them went to Uganda and Tanzania. Those are my neighboring country. Uganda is in north, Tanzania is in eastern. And then in 1994, that's when the government stopped everything and they start to kill Tutsi everywhere. They hand them the, like in the house, in the church, in the outside, and they kill Tutsi everywhere. So people could, it was terrible. They use machetes, they throw them in the big holes alive. So during that time, it was terrible. So people who were refugees in those neighboring countries are those who try to fight back, those who try to stop genocide. They fight back and they stop genocide. So the head of them, his name is President Paul Kagame, he's the president now of the country. So they try to build the country. Now it's peaceful. So how my life, God saved me from the refugee camp. Father Jah took me to the orphanage, and then he tried. I live with other kids, like 30 kids, and then he tried his best. He sent us to school. I went to high school. When I was boarding school in high school, so the life was difficult. Living with other students who lost their parents. Some of them were like victims. They still had victims. We tried to take care of ourselves. Some students, they took parental position. For example, I had like a small group of students who called me father. So basically what I did was they came to me, talk to me about their problems, their questions, and then I would go to school administration to tell them and find out the way to help them. So I finished my high school in Rwanda, and then my journey continued to United States. When Father Jah called me and asked me to sit down like in the house, in the orphanage, and he told me, sit down. I thought I was like, am I in trouble or something like that? Then he told me, there is something going to happen in your life. And then I said, what? And he told me, there is American family who want to take care of you, who will be your, like your parents. So for me, I feel emotion. I was like crying and I could not imagine. Because I have been dreaming about America when I was maybe in high school, When I first saw the first person who walked to the moon was from America. What is his name?
Neil Armstrong.
Yes, and I was like, how can you go to the moon? I started having the image of America, and I was in high school. I love America. I talk history. I could even like explaining students the America history because I loved it and I understood it. But I got a scholarship, full scholarship in my country to go to college. So Fadeja asked me to make a decision to go to school back home or to come to United States. There's two options. So I decided to come to United States because I always want to belong to family, to have a mom and to have dad, and to have American education. So we start working on the paper. I went to London Embassy. I didn't speak English. I memorized some words to say, like, I'm going to study to watch Jesuit. My parents is Michael and Jill. We live in Hudson. That's what I memorized because I didn't speak English. So when I was there during my interview, the counselor asked me, how old are you? I thought she said, how are you? And I say, I'm fine. She translated to me in French and she told me, come back tomorrow to get your visa. So I say, oh, thank you, God. Because I saw a lot of people speaking English, they failed their interview, but I succeeded because God was in my life. So I flew from Tebe, Uganda, to Addis Ababa, from Addis Ababa to Dubai, from Dubai to New York, which is the big airport. What is that called? Jiffy something? It was huge. I can't imagine we didn't get lost. Because I was with couple girls, Yacine and Jean-Luc. They are also from the same orphanage, and their parents are here too. I have picture. Oh. So this is me, this is Yacine and Jean-Luc. This is Fadeja, the one that who took care of us. So I came here, that was my first, I went to Cleveland Airport. That was the first time I say, mom, dad. So it was such, it was an amazing moment. So after only 2 days, they sent me to school. No English. So I went to watch Jesuit. I could say I'm fine, I'm hungry, something like simple. My name is Pacific. So, but the kids were so nice to me. But it was difficult because I didn't know what was going on. I sit during lunch, people talking to me. I had no idea what was going on. Sometimes I cried. And then I could not even from one room to another room because my head was big. So, but World Jesuit, they helped me. They gave me people, students like me to help me, to talk to me in English to make sure my English is getting better. I remember one time I was in the class. The teacher asked me, who wanna help Pacific to find the next class, next room? Everybody raised hand to help me. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And then the teacher took extra time to explain to me. And then after, I was able to join clubs. I joined like drum clubs for a week because it was not my thing. I joined a lot of clubs. I was campus ministry. I was Eucharist minister. So they helped me to grow and to improve my English. So they taught me how to be a man for others, which I kept with me to Walsh University. When I first went to Walsh University, Immaculate was giving a talk. Do you guys know Immaculate? he survived the Rwandan genocide. He lived in the bathroom for several days until they stopped genocide. So when I first went to Walsh, the environment that I found there made me to think continuing my journey to Walsh University, because I always wanted a school like Walsh Jesuit that would help me to grow my faith and to have a good education. So the second time when I went to Walsh University, the couple students, they gave me a tour. They gave me a tour, they showed me around. And then they taught me, they explained to me some amazing things, like education system they have, like small size, the teacher can explain you. They have campus ministry, they have a chapel you can grow in faith. They also have amazing global learning system where the kids go abroad to study abroad. They go to Africa, they go to Rome. I was able to join Bluin, which is they give a scholarship to few kids. They go to Rome, they go to Europe. So this summer I was able to go to Africa, to go back to Africa. So this is the picture when I was in the orphanage back in Tanzania. So it was amazing to be in orphanage. I was in the school. As you see those kids, they are in the orphanage. They speak Swahili, which I don't understand, but we're still able to communicate. So this picture describes the first day when I went to Walsh University. My mom made my bed and then he left. That was amazing. So this picture is when I was in the Maasai village back in Tanzania and talking to kids in kindergarten. So I am doing now education and international relations at Walsh Jesuit. I'm a junior. But when I was freshman, I was in environmental science, because I was wondering to study environmental science and to be able to help people to get clean water, especially third developing countries. And then my sophomore year, we did lab field hours. We spent most of the time in the forest. And then I find out that this is not what I want to do. Because we're just in the forest and I want to be with the people. So that's why I switched my major to education plus international relations. So now I like it and I love it. I am wondering to do great things in my life. I always want to do something big internationally, especially working for UN or working for colleges or help kids with working for like agencies that help kids. And I am opening my heart to wherever God will lead me. God saved me for a purpose, and then I will fulfill his purpose. Before I end my speech, I kind of want to go back and thank you for Walsh Jesuit, the way they helped me to grow up, to improve my English. So because without Walsh Jesuit, I would not stand up here and be able to talk in front of people. I remember, even if I was learning fast, quick, when I was at Walsh, I made a lot of mistakes, and they kept helping me. I remember the first mistake that I remember that I never forget was when I first came here, I read books, and whenever I read a book, I found a word I could ask my parents or use like Google. So I was reading a book, and I found the word pregnant. So I didn't know what that was. So I had to use Google. I click Google pregnant, and I saw the images of like the woman with big belly. So and I thought it's like when you eat too much, and then you got full. So the next day I was at school, and then whenever I find a new one, I want to use it. And then this girl, she came to me and she asked me, Pacific, I'm going to buy something from a vending machine. Would you like something to eat? And I say no. And she goes, why not? And I was like, because I'm pregnant. And then she goes, how long have you been pregnant, since you come to USA or before? And I say, no, since lunch. So she laughed at me, but she told me that what pregnant means. I know if I talk about my story, I can talk until tomorrow. I can talk about what amazing things my parents brought in my life. I know you're gonna have time to ask questions. So I would like to thank Ross Jesuit, friends from my parish who helped me all the time. They came to help me with homework when I first came. I would love to thank Walsh University and Walsh Jesuit. Thinking back at 4 years ago, I feel like I walked to the moon, even if I'm not an astronaut. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Has he not touched our hearts? Pacific, we thank you for revealing to us another image of God. We know that all of us are images of God constantly, but we forget, don't we? He reminds us of what God is in him, and what God has done and will continue to do. And so you become for us, pardon me, I'm very moved. You become for us a reminder of what all of us can be because God loves us so much. Please take a moment now to write down your questions and then hold them in the air so that one of our volunteers can come around and collect them for use during the question and answer period. And while you're doing that, we have a few announcements. First, our next First Friday Club luncheon will be on Friday, October 3rd, here at the Quaker Station. And our speaker will be Bishop Richard Lennon. You might want to mark that on your calendar. If you are listening to the podcast on our website, we invite you to join us in person. You can make reservations in three ways. You can send a check for $15 to the First Friday Club at 795 Russell Avenue, Akron, Ohio, 44307. Secondly, you can call the phone number at 330-535-7668 each month. And if you sign up on a monthly basis, please let us know by the Tuesday before the Friday talk so that you can be counted in and have a seat. If you really want to simplify your life, on the tables right now, there are subscription sheets for the speaker series offering a variety of subscription options. So please take a subscription form with you and consider making this speaker series a consistent part of your spiritual and intellectual growth. You can hear a podcast of previous speakers by logging on to the website as well. Please consider recommending it to a friend to watch it with you so that you can enter into discussion, because most of the material, well, all of it, all the material that is offered provides an opportunity for soul searching and for growing. You can also keep up to date by joining the First Friday Club on Facebook. Please take time also to fill out one of the orange information cards on the tables so that those of you that are here today can be added to our email list, and we will keep you apprised of the upcoming First Friday speakers. And now I would like at this time to recognize the first time attendees to our First Friday Club. Would you please stand so we can acknowledge you, those that are here for the first time? And we hope it's not the only time, of course. And I also would like to acknowledge the students from our high school, from Walsh Jesuit, Archbishop Hoban, Our Lady of the Elms, and St. Vincent St. Mary's. Please stand. Thank you. And in addition to that, for the first time, we have the eighth graders from Immaculate Heart of Mary School in Cuyahoga Falls and from Seton Elementary School in Hudson. Please stand. We're so happy you came here today. Thank you. And now I bring my earhole to the mic for the questions and answers.
And before I do that, I've got a few other announcements. On behalf of the Catholic Commission, I'd like to point out these, and you can find these at the door, about the Fairness and Forgiveness Forum on the death penalty that's being promoted by the Catholic office. And save the date cards for the Bishop Cosgrove dinner. Please consider attending that. And the Fair Trade Fair, which is a really wonderful event that many of you might want to try to take advantage of, which will be held at John Carroll University. Flyers for all of those events are at the table as you go out, so please feel free to take one of those and read a little bit more about it. Okay, now it's time. Come on up. Okay, we'll put these two together. How did your education experience in Rwanda prepare you for your time at Walsh? Where in Rwanda are you from? And do you plan to return back to Rwanda to work?
So the first question is about education at Walsh University and Walsh Jesuit, or here and back home? Here and back home. Well, I tell you what, people here, especially maybe young people, don't realize how grateful we are to be born in the United States. So we have such a wonderful, incredible education. So education is better than maybe anywhere else in the world, because here we have all materials, we have qualified teacher, especially when we are in the lab, we have like all materials. We have like hand-on materials which help students to understand more. So we have teacher back home, but here we have this more advanced technology and all kind of stuff. Did I help you?
What was the greatest and most inspiring moment in your life in which you felt God's presence?
Okay. Well, when I got here, actually this happened like a few months ago. My parents adopted another boy from the same orphanage. So his name is Fandira. He's here. Fandira, how are you? The thing that really touched my heart is when I come home on weekends and I hear a voice calling my brother. It's amazing. That's one of the best moments happened in my life, having brother and family and mom and dad.
What's one thing that you would like to pass down to the younger people here, the other students?
Well, I give you an example. If the government back home taught younger people how to love and how to live together, how we are one people, as you see, Gandhi is one of my favorite heroes, unifying people. The only lesson that I can give to young youth, students, it's trying to change the world. People say changing the world is being the president, having a big position in the government. No, you can change the world even in small community. Even people around you, if you say hi to them, you show them love, you inspire them, the love you show them, the smile you give them, we inspire them to change other people's life better. That's why if we teach younger generation how to love, we have a wonderful future. Our world will be much better.
Other than language, what was your biggest challenge in adjusting to life in the United States?
Yeah, actually the language comes first. Even if I tell you a little example about the language before I answer the question, even if I'm getting better in my English, I'm still making mistakes. For example, even in college, I make mistakes. One day I woke up in the morning and I want to share with you, it's fine. And I asked one of my friends, "Hey friend, how are you doing this morning?" And she goes, "I have a hangover." I didn't know what hangover means. So the next day I went to, she stayed at home and she came back home in the morning, because at Walsh University we don't drink, we don't. So we, and then I thought like when you have hangover, it's when you are tired. You are tired. So I went to serve mass in the morning, and then the priest asked me, "Pastor, how are you doing?" I was tired, and I told him, "Father, I have a hangover." He looked at me and he goes, "Really?" And I said, "Yeah." And then the other student said, "Pastor, I don't know if you drink." And I said, "What are you talking about? We are at mass and we talk about drinks." And he said, "Yeah, you have a hangover from drinking." And I said, "No, I mean I'm tired." So they were laughing. So the language is one of the most difficult things. The other things was maybe getting used to American lifestyle, the culture, things. But I learned Greek, and I'm very determined. So that's why I succeed. So you know, you are 16 here, you have to drive. You go everywhere, you drive. And my dad taught me how to drive. So yeah, getting used to American life, and it's one of the most difficult things. But I try my best.
Okay, this is kind of a double question. I think you maybe answered this somewhat earlier. What would you do when you go back to Rwanda? And I think this comes from probably one of the Walsh students. Do you think you're going to come back to Walsh to teach?
Yeah, I would say yes. That's why I'm doing education and international relations. My dream was doing something abroad with students. Maybe take students from school here, take them back home, and then bring them back here. Because once they go there, they have experience. They open their mind. You can imagine how this past summer I went with students, college students. They thought like Africa, it's like animals, bushes, but they went there and they had amazing experience. They opened their mind, so now they want to go back. So that's what I want to do. I want to work with school, helping students to understand the whole global. Yeah, I would love to be part of Walsh, of course. It's my home.
How exactly has the conflict between the tribes in Rwanda changed, and how did that change take place?
How the conflicts took place before genocide or after? Okay. I tell you, as I mentioned before, in order to build a better future of the country or the world, you have to teach, to educate younger generation. So that's why after genocide, the president Kagame Paul, this is that's him. Can you see him? Yeah, that's him. He told people, we are one person. We killed each other, but the entire world was watching. He said, we are one person, none anymore, no killing anymore. So now they are teaching younger generation. They put people who participated in genocide in jail. So now they brought them back to village and educate them that what they did was wrong. So now there is reconciliation. People live together. I can see people who killed my family, and I can say hi to them, because that's what forgiving means. That's what love means. So what the government is doing, teaching younger generation what happened will never happen again. As you see, this is during commemoration. Every year in Rwanda, we commemorate genocide. We collect the bodies, because during genocide, they throw the bodies in toilet all over the place. Now they collect them, and we bury them respectfully. So this is the president. He was with young people during commemoration. It's work to remember. So he's with youth, with younger generation, just to show them that they have to make, those are the better future of the country. If you teach younger generation, you build a better future of the country. So that's how the conflicts, that's how people ended up being one again. Because the president is doing his job, unifying people, teaching younger people, yeah.
They asked, when did you realize in your life that you wanted to help others, and why did you choose to do that?
When I look back, how God saved me. Many people died during genocide, but God saved me. But I'm not a special person. I'm not better than anybody else. So I can't even thank God enough for what He has done to me. I realized that I need to do something. Even before, when I was back home, I always want to help people at school. I want to help students. I was getting involved in school activities, which I'm still doing now. I did at Walsh High School, Walsh University. And then when I was in Africa, that's when I realized that I need to do something. Because I was playing soccer with those kids. And then I can realize how fortunate I am to have family here in the United States. I remember when I left Africa, I came back home and then I went to my room and I cried because I see a lot of things we have and those kids, they have nothing. These kids, he was smiling at me. You see him? So when I left, he cried. That's when I was like, oh my gosh, I need to do something. I need to help people. That's why I always want to work for UN, the agencies that help people, work for school, just to make other people's lives better. That's what usually encouraged me to help people, how God saved me from genocide. I didn't die. I came to United States. I can't even explain how God has done in my life.
Are you a U.S. citizen? And if not, do you hope to become one?
I had, as I told you, I have been dreaming to come to United States since I was in high school. And then I believe that getting American, I'm not American citizen. I'm here on student visa. Even if I have mom and dad, they are like my, I feel like they're my biological parents, but I study here, I'm on student visa. So I would love, after finishing school, I would love to maybe get American citizenship. That will help me to achieve my goals in life. Getting American citizenship will help me to open more opportunities for kids in Africa. Because I will be able to travel as I want. And then I hope God will make way. I came here on God's purpose, and I always see God in my life. There is no doubt. I would love to become American. This is blessed land, as Mother Teresa said, but sometimes we don't realize how blessed we are to be born in the United States.
Final question, and it's an easy one. Of the languages you speak, what is your favorite one and why?
I speak French. That's my second language. And I speak Nyarwanda, which is my native language. And I also speak English, right? It's funny because when I was sitting talking to kindergarten kids, they say, why is he speaking in Spanish? Because maybe of my accent, but at that time my accent was strong, so now I'm losing the accent, right? So I love French, and I miss it because I don't speak it anymore, so I'm kind of losing it now. My mom tried to take French before I came, because she knew I didn't speak English. So she taught French for a few weeks, and of course you can take French for a few weeks and be able to communicate. So I was not able to keep practicing my French. So French is, I love French, but I also love my native language. But of course I know I can't forget my native language, and then now I'm losing French because it's my second language. So now I like to speak French, and I don't know, they say it's a romantic language. I don't know, maybe that's why I love it, I don't know.
Thank you.
before I left, I want to leave a message for...
Here.
I want to leave a message for younger generation. Please do your best in your life. No matter you try so hard, but please focus on your dreams and otherwise try to do better to help somebody else to make the world a better place. Remember, you have two hands. One hand to help yourself and another hand to help somebody else. God bless you.
Such wisdom. I would now like to introduce Andrew Myers, a senior at Walsh Jesuit High School, who will lead us in our closing prayer. Andrew?
Right. Let us begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you for calling us your friends. We are grateful for God's abundant gifts, for one another, and for the mission we share as your companions. Teach us to pray. Give us your heart. Help us to see you in the poor and brokenhearted. Grant our heart's desire to love and follow you more closely, to find our way to you through one another, and invite others to walk with us along the way. In your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Andrew. And I thank everyone for coming. I know that we leave today with much grace and that we are changed a little, I'm sure, maybe even more. We hope to see you next month on October 2nd for Bishop Richard Lennon, and the blessings and joy.